Thank you for the introduction, Dave. When we record the videos that we send out to you on the Sabbath day, they are unedited. And not like church at home, where they're done very professionally. So if you want the videos, it's just like you're sitting here in Sabbath services. And we've decided to do this from this point of view. Some have tried what they call virtual church. So at a set time in the day, you can dial in on a phone bank and you can hear the sermon live. But the problem is, when you get out of a bandwidth of about 4 time zones, it doesn't work well. See? And when you consider there are 24 time zones around the earth, we can see how it doesn't work well. So we've decided to do it this way as the best way. So those of you who received this, you get it just 1 week later, provided that the U.S. Post Office gets it to you on time and they don't run it through the processing machine.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of you got some broken CDs. The reason is that the post office did not read or honor what we put on there, non-machinable, and we pay a 17 cents premium, so it's non-machinable. So I'm trying to get a hold of the name of the postmasters in San Jose Processing Center and Oakland Processing Center and to find out if they have employees that cannot read or do not want to read. Yes.
I've been there for 5 years and I've come on.
You know what that's like. So what we have done is this. We have resorted to, can you see this? we send everything out in trays. They're about this long and about this high, and then all of our mailing sticks up out of there. And then we have made a big 11 by 17, north, south, east, and west, non-machinable, 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 so it can be read from any position. Then we got a whole batch of these huge, gigantic, stretchy rubber bands, and we put two of those on it, plus we put one around the middle, which means that whoever picks up this tray can see it's non-machinable.
Yeah.
Now, the only other alternative would be that there are some Muslims who are sabotaging in the post office. So I've calmed down from when they did it because they did about 350 they ran through that way. So not all of them. But anyway, here we're past the first of the year, so what I want to cover here, first of all, I want to cover some statistics concerning our websites. Now, we officially have 3 websites. We have cbcg.org, and churchathome.org, and then the cbcgspanish.org. Now, we're building up the Spanish. We have Gilibaldo Elizondo. I like the sound of that name, don't you? Gilibaldo Elizondo. No R's that I could roll, but that's okay. But he's doing an excellent job in translating. Plus, we have Miguel Mercia, and he's in Canada. He's the webmaster. Gil, as he calls himself, because it's hard for people to say Gilibaldo all the time, he lives down in South Texas. And we're building up the Spanish website to contain more and more things. He's also in the process of translating Cold Holidays, God's Holy Days, which, and I told him to add in particular things in the different chapters concerning the occult things that people do that those in Latin America are affected by much more than we are in the U.S. because he says they're affected more by demons than we are here in the U.S. So he's doing that. Plus, we have over in Ethiopia, Kishan, and he's the one who translated the Bible into Hamitic or Ethiopic. That's doing quite well over there. And by the way, over in Ethiopia, outside of a couple $1,000 a year, they are self-supporting. Because in the past, we got ripped off with people from Nigeria. Oh, this and oh, that. And we send off money we shouldn't have sent off. So now, if someone says, oh, we need this, we need that, we need the other, we just send it electronically and say, it's too expensive to send one Bible to Africa, cost about $140, see, because they have eliminated slow boat mail. So what we do with those in areas like that, we just tell them, keep using the website, download what we have, we got a lot of things, and so that works real well. But we have another man, Sergei Loganov. Two F's means you're Russian, V means that you are Ukrainian. He's in the Ukraine. And he has been searching for the truth for years and years and years and finally found our website. And, you know, what everyone should do when they come to understand something or come to a website, they should prove from the scriptures whether it is so or not. Now, let's go here to Acts the 17th chapter, and let's see where we have an example of that, and let's examine it from the point of view of what were they proving and how were they proving it, you see, because they didn't have the New Testament. As a matter of fact, at this particular juncture, Paul had not written one epistle that is contained in the Bible, Acts 17. Okay. Now, verse 10, this is after they had a big confrontation of things there in Thessalonica, and so verse 10, then the brethren immediately sent away by night to Berea both Paul and Silas, who when they arrived went into the synagogue of the Jews, to the Jews first. Now, the Jews were in a situation, there were many who were more scriptural than they are today. Now we've got thousands of other traditions added to it, so the Jewishness that Jewish organizations like to teach Christians is not from the scriptures in the main. Now some of it may be, but very little. Verse 11, now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with all readiness of mind, and examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Well, what was Paul teaching? What was he teaching? He was teaching Christ from what? The Old Testament, right? Okay. Now, this helps answer the question here. Okay. Let's come back to 2 Timothy, the third chapter, and then we'll look at it. I'll have to bring this sermon or series of sermons somewhere down the road, but I'll just give you a quick thumbnail sketch of probably what he was teaching, because it follows right along. Okay, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, here is what Paul wrote to Timothy. See, and this is why today, when the Protestants say you don't need the Old Testament, they're absolutely wrong, because the Old Testament prophecies are witnesses of what to come, plus concerning the laws and commandments of God and so forth. Okay, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, let's go back to verse 14. But as for you, continue in the things that you did learn and were assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, from Paul. And that from a child, because he was in the same situation, we'll say, scripturalist Jews. Let's label them as that. that from a child you have known the holy writings, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, we'll take a little thumbnail sketch of that to see how it's done, because you see, those in Berea were searching the scriptures. The only thing they had were the scrolls at the synagogue, right? Yes. Okay. To see if these things were so. And then a great number of them believed and so forth. Let's come back to the book of Isaiah. Let's see, just give you a thumbnail sketch, what I'm going to preach on somewhere down the road. Okay. All right. Let's look at them here. Okay, let's come to chapter 40. We'll just do kind of a chapter-by-chapter survey. Chapter 40. Now, you can put in your notes there, Malachi, the third chapter, concerning the messenger to come before his face, had to prove John the Baptist. So you have all of that, you see. Comfort ye, my people, says your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for her sins. All right? That was true during the days of Jesus' ministry. There were no wars. Okay? Was also true during the days of Jesus that he began his ministry in a jubilee year. And he was bringing the gospel. Now notice, here's a prophecy of John the Baptist, verse 4. A voice is calling out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Then it goes into his second coming, you see. Now, this is the thing concerning Old Testament scripture. It'll go first coming, second coming, from verse to verse. Because obviously, verse 4 did not happen. But verse 3 did. See? Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. Crooked places shall be made straight, the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Okay, that comes to the second coming of Christ, doesn't it? Was there a glory of the Lord revealed during the ministry of Christ? Yes, Jesus said, I've glorified you on the earth, correct? Yes, but not the glory of Christ returning as an all-powerful spirit being, you see. And a voice says, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the beauty of it is as of the flower of the field. Okay? Then it goes on and so forth. When they came and asked John the Baptist, who are you? What did he say? I'm a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare you the way of the Lord. Okay? He didn't quote Malachi 3. He quoted Isaiah 40. All right? Then chapter 41 and 42, we have some prophecies concerning Christ, also reflective in Cyrus a little later. We won't go through that. But let's come over here to chapter 50. Okay? Now, there are many, many different things you can pull out of all the chapters leading up to chapter 50, but I want to get to one point here. Okay? Just to show you something here. Verse 1. Thus says the Lord, where's your mother's bill of divorce with which I have put her away? Ending the old covenant. Okay? But ending the old covenant does not do away with the laws and commandments of God, because all covenants have laws and commandments of God within them. See? Or to which of my creditors have I sold you? Behold, you yourselves were sold for your iniquities, and your mother is put away for her transgressions. Okay? Therefore, when I came, why was no one there? When I called, no one answered. Is my hand shortened at all so that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. The fish stink because there is no water, and they die for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness and make sackcloth my covering. Here we're talking about God's power in heaven looking down, see? Okay? Now notice, interjected right into it, see? This is why Isaiah 28 says line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, see? Okay? Verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, to know to help the weary with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as one being taught. The Lord has opened my ear. I was not rebellious nor turned away backwards. Now, right there in these two verses, you have how was Jesus educated? By God the Father. Now, that's why when you come to John 7, the Pharisees said, how does this man know these things having never been schooled? Because, you know, by that time, they checked with every single rabbinical school to say, did you teach him? Did you teach him? How did he come up with these doctrines? See, he was taught by God the Father. And this shows, even as a babe, he was awakened every morning. Then notice what happens, verse 6. It jumps forward to the events preceding the crucifixion, right? I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that pluck off the hair. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. Okay? Then we have chapter 51, beginning of the preaching of the gospel. Hearken to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, to Sarah who bore you, and I called him alone and blessed him and made him many. Showing that the gospel goes back to where? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What did Jesus say concerning Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Okay? Then we come over here to chapter 3. We can pick out more things. I'm just picking out just a few verses here. Okay? Here's a prophecy of the full experience of the judgment and the scourging and the crucifixion right here in chapter 53. And Paul obviously used these chapters. And when the Bereans were proving out of the scriptures whether these things were so, they saw that they were. Okay? Verse 1, Isaiah 53. Who's believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form or comeliness that we should look upon him, nor beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, etc. Okay? Then we have chapter 54. Chapter 54 is a prophecy of the church. Sing, O barren, you that never bore. The church, though was prophesied, never had any children like the children of Israel. Okay? And you can read of that in Galatians 4, how Paul brought this out. Okay? Chapter 55. How do you repent and return to the Lord? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Chapter 56, verse 1. Keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the Son of Man who lays hold on it, who keeps the Sabbath from profaning it and keeps his hand from doing evil. New Testament doctrine to keep the Sabbath. Okay? Then we have chapter 58, cry aloud and spare not, showing that all the traditions that they had, though they wanted to know God, they didn't know God. They did certain things, but God didn't accept them. So he tells them why they didn't accept them. Then in verse 13, it comes in again, that the way you establish your relationship with God is how? Through keeping the Sabbath. So right there, you have those chapters, which I'm sure, plus others that they were examining. I'm sure they examined Psalm 22 about the crucifixion, everything that took place there. So there's an awful lot. Now, remember, all of this is in addition to what they wrote for the New Testament that we have today. Now, let me ask you a question. Anyone out there, doesn't matter who you are, where you are, where you're from, do we have the whole Bible today? Yes. Now, what do you think God requires of us to do? Do we not have many more things available to us? Yes. We're to prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. See? Now, just understand this. Most of the doctrines that in the Protestant church have no validity in truth for salvation at all. They come close, but it's like having a combination. You got to have the right sequence of numbers. If you have part of them, it won't work. Seventh-day Adventist, I was shocked with when I was down in Arcadia, we had two Seventh-day Adventist elders there. One group keeps the holy days. The other man, he wants to set up a seminary to teach the SDAs the truth because they have many false doctrines in them. But what shocked me was that in a paper that he wrote, I forget how to pronounce his last name, but his first name was Peter. The other one was Mr. and Mrs. Van Burl, Dutch. So we have one German, one Dutch. But it was interesting that they both said that the same problems are happening within the SDA church. So what I did, and I might finish it up here this later part of the sermon, instead of going through in 14 things to happen in prophecy and go to the Philadelphia church and the Laodicean church, I said, let's look at all seven. Because not all church wars are something you should be involved in. Yes, you need to stand for the truth, but there are certain corrections that are coming from God that you just back off and let God do what he's to do. You make sure you're right with God, see. So that's how I covered it. But I thought it was interesting. The Protestants are going like this. The SDAs in attendance and things are going like this. Churches of God, some of them are in total confusion or ruled with an iron fist in such a way that it destroys people's lives and spirituality and emotions. And I know some people we've really had to pray for because they have been so oppressed by arrogant men. God is going to judge all of them. So God's judgment is on everyone. All right. So with that said, let me tell you what we have been doing and give you the summary of this past month plus the summary for the whole year. Because as we are going to learn as we go down the road, the most effective way to reach the world is on the internet. Now, the reason being is once you have something up on the internet, it is there 24/7. Whereas if you buy time on a radio station, you have to count on who's listening at that particular time. And it's not repeated. Now, on our website, we have hundreds of sermons. And the sermons are more detailed Bible studies going through many, many sections of the Bible, verse by verse and word by word and so forth. Plus, we have the Bible, and between the New Testament that we did and the Bible, we have distributed about 28,000 of those. And they're out there just like God says, spread your bread upon the waters and it will come back to you in time. Some of these things are starting to come back now. We're getting more people as a result of Church at Home and also cbcg.org that are asking about baptism, that want to know the different things that we have. Plus, we have people that bought the Bible and are now contacting us through the websites. I talked to a man yesterday who, when he was a teenager, wanted to be saved. But he couldn't understand the King James. So he spent years learning the Greek. So he called the office, and I called him back because he wanted me to talk to him. And he wanted to talk about a certain verse and what he understood with the Greek. And I told him, yes, that's correct. I said, good for you, you know, good example of proving all things. He's down in Ventura, so I invited him up to our next Arcadia meeting, the 5th of February. Okay. Now, cbcg.org, churchathome.org, plus CBCG video. Now, we've got almost 140 hour-and-a-half sermons on site now that can be downloaded, plus CBCG Spanish. Now, you don't have to write these down because I'm going to send it out in a report. The combined total visits for the month of December for all four websites are 50,993. Nearly 41,000 on CBCG, nearly 6,300 on Church at Home, 2,200 on the videos, and nearly 1,500 on the Spanish. Okay? Now, here's some breakdown for all the pages viewed. Okay? Total pages viewed for cbcg.org, 178,672. For Church at Home, 20,660. CBCG Video, 2,225. For the Spanish, 14,945. Now, here's what they have downloaded to them. Okay? Have transferred just in the month. CBCG.org, 284,000 gigabytes. Church at Home, 62 gigabytes. The video, 81 gigabytes. That's transferred. That's just, no, that's Spanish. It didn't, the video is not counted, or the last one is Spanish. Okay? Sessions per day, 1,644. Average pages viewed per day, 6,983. Average bytes transferred per day, 1,100.22 gigabytes. Okay? How long do they stay on the website? Now, that's a good indicator of what's happening. 8 minutes and 14 seconds. Now, for websites, that's a long, long time. All right. Now, here's what we have for the whole year. 441,687 visits for the whole year. Pages viewed, 1,829,512. Bytes transferred, 519 gigabytes. So a lot of information is going out there. Okay? Then we have the request for a Spanish here. But anyway, that means for the whole year, we have had pretty close to, well, we're getting up there close to 500,000. Yeah, 441,000 for the year. Okay. Now, these will begin to have an accumulative effect because we're getting people who, like one man called and said, well, I've been downloading everything for years. And he belonged to another Church of God, and because of everything going on, he says, can we have a fellowship group in our area? So we sent him some of the things necessary for a fellowship group. So God is adding to us. We're growing at a rate that we can handle. You don't want to grow so fast that you can't handle it. So we're out there doing our part. And I hope that as we continue in the future. Now, I know one series that is going to really be a top-notch series that we did at Church at Home, Why Were You Born? And Randy's been editing, and he's got that really worked up good. We have to do one more. Dave is the cameraman. And we have to do one more. And at the end of the next one, we're going to put on that hymn, The Almighty God. No, we sent it down. He's going to redo it. Okay. No, it was too much time. He had to edit and edit and edit and edit number 5 to get it down, so it's 28 minutes.
Is that the one with all the pictures?
All the pictures, yeah. So I talked to him about it last night. So I'm going to do one more to finalize it, and then we'll leave enough time so we can put that hymn, the Almighty God, on the end of it, because through the whole thing, it's going to explain more and in a visual way that people will be able to relate to why were you born from a speck of dust to a son of God. And that is going to be, I think, a number one all time with it. Plus, then we have to have all the other things to go with it as well, so we can help them come along. But we are getting requests for baptism books off Church at Home. We had one woman who was recently baptized in Tulsa. She drove all the way from Texas to get up there. And totally new, see. Yes, we want to help those who've been in other churches of God, but if you've been in another church of God, we can just tell you, don't bring your baggage. You know, get your baggage cleaned up before you come. Okay? So that gives us kind of a little year-end report. I will include this in my February letter. I'll put everything in there. But as we go down the road, we are going to do some more advertising. We're going to try our first advertising for Church at Home sometime in February in the Washington Times. We'll get a back page, full back page ad for $900. And we will also offer the new book, Lord, What Should I Do? And we'll see what happens with that. See, once they're there, then that connects them to cbcg.org. So it'll be easier for them to transist.